Initiating system 1. System 1 loaded.
This is Breaking Raw.
Welcome to Breaking Raw here at Gerwick.net. My name is Atlee Green, and joining me in the co-host chair this week is the mastermind behind the Raw Deal podcast, the one, the only, the infamous Frank D. What's going on, Frank?
Nothing much, Allie. How you doing tonight, my man?
I am doing very well. We're at the road to WrestleMania. This is the last pit stop, if you will. And we're going to not only talk about Monday Night Raw, but this is going to be a special edition of Breaking Raw because we're going to give our WrestleMania predictions. We're going to incorporate our Monday Night Raw feedback into our WrestleMania predictions as we go through the WrestleMania 32 card. So, Frank, are you ready to get the show with WrestleMania?
Absolutely.
All right, my friends. So, as you know, WrestleMania has 11 matches total, and 4 of the matches are going to be on the pre-show, where the first 2 matches are going to be WWE Network exclusives, and then the other 2 matches can be seen on the USA Network for the last hour of the pre-show. So we'll start with the pre-show matches first and then kind of go over everything else. So the first pre-show match is going to be Kalisto defending the United States Championship against Ryback. And we know what's been going on here. The good big man can always beat the good little man. Kalisto's trying to prove that theory wrong. And as we saw on Monday Night Raw, Frank D, WWE was trying to give us the impression that Kalisto can beat Ryback by having him go over on Connor from the Ascension.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that, Adley. Nobody gives a shit about the Ascension. The Ascension are, you know, essentially a jobber tag team right now in WWE. So Kalisto beating two jobbers, it doesn't make a big damn difference to me. So going to this situation here with Ryback, it's the chance for Ryback to show what he can do against a little guy, you know, throw him around or whatever. It really hasn't been that much of a build to this match, honestly. It's just been, you know, Vince McMahon speaking through Ryback about how he feels about smaller guys. And I'm predicting a Ryback United States Championship win at WrestleMania.
When you look at what happened on Monday Night Raw, I definitely agree with what you said, Frank D, because if you want people to care about the fact that Kalisto can beat a big guy like Ryback, you have to have him beat a big guy that people actually care about. And again, as you said, nobody cares about the Ascension, so nobody cares that Kalisto beat a member of the Ascension and actually sent him off packing. But when you look at this match, I think Kalisto is right now in a bit of a holding pattern because they want a new Rey Mysterio Jr., and Kalisto is the closest thing they have right now towards making a new Rey Mysterio Jr., but as you've touched on, Frank D, quite a few times, Kalisto just does not have the charisma of a Rey Mysterio Jr. You know, fantastic wrestler, but he doesn't have the charisma to make the complete package, and they haven't really done a good job of pushing him on his own as a singles act. They really just keep pushing him as one half of this tag team called the Lucha Dragons, who just happens to have the United States Championship. So I'm going with the big guy, Ryback, to get fed a little bit more and walk out of WrestleMania as the new United States Champion.
The problem here with Kalisto, Adley, like you just said, is that he is still, you know, representing his tag team. And what I mean by that is he still comes out with the Lucha Dragons music. He's still doing the Lucha taunt. And in order to really show that this guy is a singles guy, they got to change that stuff out of the act. He needs to come up with a new entrance. He needs to come up with some new music. And WWE, you know, creative machine needs to get behind that. Because until then, you can't take him seriously as a United States champion. I mean, the fact of the matter is this. The United States Championship is being defended on the pre-show. It's not even a part of WrestleMania. So that shows you right there where they see Kalisto on the card, and also right now where WWE sees the United States Championship.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Frank D. Then we go to 10 Diva Tag Team action as Team Total Divas, Brie Bella, Paige, Natalya, Alicia Fox, and Eva Marie takes on Lana, Summer Rae, Naomi, Emma, and Tamina. Now, we saw on Raw the final push for this match where it was Emma taking on Brie Bella, so that was a nice way to have Emma come back up from NXT and be on the main roster, make it to WrestleMania. And then, of course, the heels went over, did their thing, and then just as it looked like the heels were going to rule the day, the music pops up, and then it's Eva Marie, of all people. And she does the... They tried to make this go over big, Frank D. I'm telling you. She came out. She came to the center of the stage, stared everybody down, and then ran down to the ring. And not only did the Barclays Center crowd in Brooklyn, New York, boo her out of the building, but Lana had to walk slower and slower and slower as she tried to get out of the ring, because that's how slow Eva Marie was running to the ring. And then, of course, we saw how the babyface team didn't really trust her, but they held their hands up together, signifying that Eva Marie is now the fifth member of Team Total Divas, which in a way makes sense, because in many ways she's the star of the show. But as you know, Frank D, the report just came out that WWE actually believed at one point that there's a difference between NXT fans and WWE main roster fans, and they expected the crowd at the Barclays Center to absolutely cheer Eva Marie, and the opposite happened.
I don't know what the hell kind of reaction that was, but WWE thought that she was actually going to get a positive babyface reaction. This is what I read on Gehrig.net and a lot of the other sheets out there. And I'm not surprised at all by the reaction she got. She came out there and she tried to babyface it up, but nobody in the Barclays Center gave a damn. And looking at this situation here, you got the Total Divas team versus Team Bad and Blonde. I'm looking at a victory for Team Bad and Blonde. I don't think Eva Marie is going to stick on her team.
Definitely not. I don't see Eva Marie going all the way, you know, as far as being a babyface goes, because she is a natural heel and is, I think she's really limited in a babyface role, especially because of the fact that nobody likes her. And it's obvious that she's going to turn heel, help Team Lana get the victory, and then, of course, they'll either push her in NXT or they'll just end up completely bring her to the main roster, which I shudder to think. Eva Marie is a full-time member of the main roster, but I'm going with Team Bad, Lana Summer Rae, to go all the way. And I like how Michael Cole on Raw covered up the fact that Summer Rae and Lana are on the same team, and they just kind of threw this one-liner out there basically saying that, oh, don't forget, Summer Rae and Lana don't see eye to eye, but Summer Rae looks at this as an opportunity to make her name for herself at WrestleMania. So they kind of cover that up. And this also could be the final match of one Brie Bella.
Yeah, definitely. Appears Daniel Bryan reports are saying that he's dealing with some sort of depression as it relates to his wrestling career being over. And if that's the case, I feel really bad for Bryan Danielson if he's dealing with that. And hopefully, with the support of his wife and friends, he can overcome this the situation right now. You don't never want to hear about anybody being depressed. Depression is a real bad thing, and it can lead to bad things. So hopefully, Bryan Danielson gets some help with that depression, if that is indeed the case.
Absolutely, because there are a lot of rumors going out as to what's going on with Daniel Bryan, and one of them is, it's a quiet rumor that perhaps he's suffering from depression, because WWE has pretty much said that there's a health-related reason as to why Daniel Bryan has been pulled from the house shows, pulled from WrestleMania, and pulled from the European tour, and this is also the reason why Brie Bella has kind of shortened her retirement. She was originally going to retire in June, but now she's retiring right after WrestleMania. So if it is depression, or if it is also seizures that we hear rumors about too, I wish Daniel Bryan and his family nothing but the best. I hope he gets a speedy recovery and he's able to have a great quality of life, you know, because he loved the professional wrestling business. And I wish him nothing but the best going forward. But the third pre-show match, Frank D, is a tag team match featuring the Usos taking on the Dudley Boys. Now, as we saw on Raw, they had a little bit of interaction, and R-Truth and Goldust were kind of thrown in there a little bit, so people were thinking maybe they might get added to this match and make it a triple threat match. I don't see that happening, considering the fact that they seem to have some business going on in the Battle Royal coming up, but this feud really hasn't been much of anything, Frank D. It hasn't been good, it hasn't been bad, it's been kind of just there, and this is really a pick'em match, not because it's a very exciting result on the horizon. It's been thrown there just to give these guys something to do. Would you really say that for most of the pre-show? And I'm just going on a limb and saying the Dudley Boys go over on the Uso Brothers simply because they're trying to market that Straight Outta Dudleyville DVD, and that's my 2 cents about this match.
This feud has not had a proper build-up at all. I'm looking forward to Dudley Boys to get the win here. I don't know what the hell they're doing right now with the Usos. They have definitely cooled off since they've returned. And I think it's time to push the Dudley Boys probably in another feud with the New Day for the tag team straps and get the Dudley Boys another tag team title win.
Then we go to the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which is going to air on the USA Network. And we don't know everybody that's going to be in the match yet, but we know Fandango's going to be in it. Tyler Breeze is going to be in it. All four members of the Social Outcast are going to be in it. But the main players seem to be Kane, Big Show, and plus there's a dissension possibly with R-Truth and Goldust, because as we saw on Raw, R-Truth said, hey, I know we're partners, but in Andre the Giant Battle Royal, it's every person for themselves, and we gotta do what we gotta do. And Goldust kind of looking at him like, dude, we're not partners, why are you acting like this? And then R-Truth kind of blew his nose on the handkerchief, walked away because he was all sad about it. But Frank D, do you care about the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal? Does it matter who wins this thing or what?
Actually, I don't care about this Battle Royal. I think it's a big waste of time. The only good thing about it is the wrestlers in the Battle Royal get a payday. That's it. Other than that, it's a waste of time. And I don't give a damn who wins it. And looking at Monday Night Raw and looking at Big Show and Kane standing tall after the match with the Social Outcasts, it seems to me that they want to have a repeat of the 2015 Royal Rumble. So I have no interest in this at all.
The reason I have no interest in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is because of the fact that the last 2 years they've had this Battle Royal, Cesaro won, they pushed him for about a month or so, and then they pulled it back. Same thing with Big Show, he won it last year, they pushed him for a little bit, and then they stopped. So I don't know what's going on. Whoever wins this Battle Royal seems to get a push for about a cup of coffee, and they just pull the rug right out from under them, and it's business as usual. So that tells me WWE doesn't even take this match seriously. If they don't take it seriously, why should I take it seriously? But I think that Braun Strowman is going to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal because they're looking for little ways to push Braun Strowman to eventually get him ready for a high-profile match in the summertime or even at SummerSlam. But now, Frank D, we get to the main card. The main card has 7 matches, and it's even though it's scheduled for 4 hours to go from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, WWE has already put the word out to a lot of cable companies that, hey, this show is going to go past the 11 o'clock hour. So I don't know if that means if WWE bought more satellite time, or does that mean that, hey, if you're watching this on cable, you're basically screwed, because if the show's not over at 11 o'clock, you're getting shorted out, just like Halloween Havoc back in 1998. And that's also kind of a way to promote the network, because they don't have to listen to any satellite. They can just air it as long as they want. So when I look at this card as a whole, Frank D, the 7 matches on the main WrestleMania show, I think quite a few of these matches are all going to depend on how much time they are given to do their thing in the ring. And because on top of the 7 matches over a 4-hour show, you also have the national anthem. You also have the Hall of Fame inductees taking their bow. There's probably going to be some type of band performing. They're going to do a couple of comedy skits in the back like they always do, because WWE writers and Vince McMahon can't help themselves when it comes to comedy. And, of course, we all know The Rock is appearing at WrestleMania, and he's going to do something as well. So with all that, let's go over the card. The first match, well, not really the first match as far as order goes. The first match on my list is AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho. What are your thoughts, Frank D?
I'm actually looking forward to it. Chris Jericho got me into the match Monday night with his mic work, and that's one thing. I'm not the biggest Chris Jericho fan out there, but I will say that this guy is the best in the world at what he does, especially when it comes to getting on the mic and getting you riled up and wanting to see him get his ass whooped. So he did that for me this past Monday when I was watching the show. I'm looking for AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho to tear the roof off that place, and I'm actually looking forward to it, and I got to go with another victory for AJ Styles.
You know, when I look at this particular feud, Frank D, I think Monday night on Raw really set the tone for what we're going to see at WrestleMania, because Chris Jericho wrestled Zack Ryder, and then, of course, AJ Styles came out and said, why to you, jackass, distracted Jericho, and then Zack Ryder got the pin. But as soon as he got the pin, Jericho immediately laid him out with a codebreaker, and that was one of the best codebreakers I've ever seen, and you definitely agree with that sentiment, Frank D.
Oh, it was wild, man. It was wicked, vicious.
And then, of course, Jericho's mic work really sold us on this match by saying, you know, you haven't wrestled anywhere, you've never been on WrestleMania, but you know what, this is going to be your last WrestleMania, I accept your challenge. So, you got AJ Styles and Chris Jericho going at it, and I really believe that this match all depends on how much time you can give these wrestlers. I mean, if you don't, if you give them like a good 10, 12 minutes, I think they're going to tell a very good story and have a very competitive match. And plus, these two athletes know that a lot of people are looking at them to have match of the night, which is very possible. But also, you got to look at this from AJ Styles' perspective. This is by far the biggest show he's ever wrestled on, and this is the biggest audience he's ever wrestled in front of. I mean, I know he's wrestled for New Japan Pro Wrestling on the Tokyo Dome shows for Wrestle Kingdom, but, you know, those are crowds of 35,000 to 55,000 there in Japan. I mean, this is, no disrespect to Wrestle Kingdom, but this is WrestleMania, where the world's going to be watching. And do you think AJ Styles, even with 20 years plus experience, will have some butterflies as he goes through the curtain at WrestleMania?
Oh, definitely, dude. Did you see the video on YouTube that WWE posted with AJ Styles debuting in Madison Square Garden this past Friday night? So, yeah, definitely he has some butterflies. And he should have butterflies. I mean, you're going to be in front of a lot of people on the WWE Network and on pay-per-view. But I think the WWE has invested a lot in AJ Styles at this point. He's really performing well. He's gotten his timing together and all that stuff. So him and Jericho are going to have a pretty good match. I think they're going to have a match that's going to tear the roof off of AT&T Stadium. It's just going to be good. I can't wait to see it. I'm actually enthused about seeing this match.
The way I look at this, I think Chris Jericho is going to win this match, and then that way you can prolong the feud and put it on to next month at Extreme Rules, because then you will have the feud tied at two wins apiece for each wrestler. And I think they're going to keep AJ Styles with Chris Jericho for a little while longer, because of the fact that if you want someone to learn the WWE style on the fly, on the job, Chris Jericho is definitely the guy you pair somebody with. And when it comes to AJ Styles, I think not only are people going to really want to see a good match come out of him, but I think a lot of agents and producers at WWE are really going to be watching AJ Styles' performance with the fine-tooth comb to see if he has really caught on and how he does on the big stage. So this is definitely one of the most important matches of AJ Styles. But again, I think Chris Jericho wins the match and the feud continues. Now we go on to the ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. Kevin Owens is the champ. He defends the belt against Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder, Sin Cara, The Miz, and Stardust. Frank D., what do we got?
We got here simply a ladder match with the main story being Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. That's what we got here. And I'm picking a Sami Zayn Intercontinental Championship win at WrestleMania.
I think that would be a great way to go, Frank D., because when you look at all the wrestlers in this match, there's definitely some character development problems with a lot of these wrestlers, because Kevin Owens is over. He's probably the most over guy in the match with the majority of the crowd. And you got Sami Zayn, who's over the NXT crowd, and he's getting over more and more. Then you got Dolph Ziggler, who people have kind of turning on in recent weeks because they've kind of realized that he's never going to be that main event player, and they've kind of, which I think is sad, because it's not his fault he's going to be a main event player. He works his ass off, whether you love him or hate him. And I think because people now realize WWE is never going to give him the ball, the sentiment is, why cheer for him if we know they're never going to take him seriously? And then you get Sin Cara, who I think is just thrown in the match simply to do a few high spots. Then you got The Miz, who's going to bring some drama to the match. Then you get Stardust, who's in there just because you need another body. Then you get Zack Ryder, who took Neville's spot. Neville got injured in that match with Chris Jericho on Raw 2 weeks ago, and Zack Ryder was able to step in. So even though there's not going to be much importance placed on Zack Ryder, I hope he's going to be able to find a way to make the most of this WrestleMania appearance. Therefore, even win, lose, or draw, some of the agents or even Vince McMahon will say, hey, you know what? That Ryder guy's got something. Let's push him. But in the end, I agree with you, Frank D., that Sami Zayn is going to walk out of AT&T Stadium as the Intercontinental Champion. And I say that because most times when they debut a new wrestler on the roster, they have vignettes. They're in a storyline right away. They hype up their debut. But with Sami Zayn, they really just had him come out as just, you know, some guy who can wrestle. And he hasn't gotten, like, the best reactions, but he hasn't been booed by any stretch of the imagination. So I think the majority of the casual audience does not know how to take Sami Zayn because they're not familiar with his work as some of the NXT fans are and some of the diehard wrestling fans. And as far as the story within the match, the most intriguing story is, what's going to happen when Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens collides. And if you want to get Sami Zayn over, I think him winning the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania, being so new, would be a great way to start. Bottom line, I think Sami Zayn walks out with the championship, which brings us to another championship match at WrestleMania. It is a triple threat match for the WWE Divas Championship. Charlotte is the champion with Ric Flair in her corner, defending against Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. Frank D, take us through it.
The problem here with this match, Ellie, is that it's going to be a great match on paper, and you know they're going to go out there and work their ass off, but I don't think that the fans are necessarily connected yet to Becky Lynch. I think they are with Sasha Banks, and to somewhat of the degree they are with Charlotte. But Becky Lynch is kind of the third wheel here in this matchup, and I'm not saying that to take a knock at her at all. I just think that they haven't, you know, properly introduced Becky Lynch to the WWE universe, the casual fans, who may not have watched NXT, just like we were discussing with Sami Zayn. So in this match here, we go to WrestleMania, which, you know, because of the reports that we're reading today, could very well be the last time the Divas Championship is defended at WrestleMania, because it's being, you know, said that this coming Monday night on Monday Night Raw, the night after WrestleMania, they're going to introduce a new championship, the Women's Championship, basically getting rid of the Divas title. The Butterfly title is gone, and I'm predicting here that Charlotte is going to retain the Divas Championship. I don't think they're ready to pull the trigger yet on Sasha Banks, and I think after this match, we're going to see a Sasha Banks-Charlotte feud, and they're going to push Becky Lynch to the side.
Frank D, I agree with a lot of what you said about this particular match, and I also feel that this match is something that needs to have a lot of time, as I talked about with Chris Jericho and AJ Styles. If they give those two time, it will be a real good match. And if they give these ladies time to have a really good match and tell a good story, they very well could have match of the night, because in NXT, these three ladies also wrestled each other in a triple threat match, and it was a really good match. It was, I believe, back in 2015, and Becky Lynch actually came away the winner, and it was a deal where you didn't expect her to come away as the winner, but she ended up winning out of the blue, and it was a big shock, and that kind of made her as far as NXT goes. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to replicate that formula to get Becky Lynch over, because when you look at this, Frank D, WWE is either trying to simply tell the next chapter of this Diva story, or they're looking to elevate somebody. And as you said, they're not ready to pull the trigger on Sasha Banks just yet. That's the impression I get. That's the impression you get. And I don't think they're ready to do anything, you know, of merit with Becky Lynch, because I think if you choose between Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks, Sasha Banks will get the nod first. So I definitely think Charlotte is going to walk out as the Divas Champion. And she's a good wrestler. Her work is getting better. But she's a great character. And I think business will be served well if she remains the WWE Divas Champion for now. Now, the next match on the card, Frank D, is the no-holds-barred street fight with Dean Ambrose taking on Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman in his corner. Now, as we saw on Monday Night Raw this past week, Paul Heyman was out there doing his usual promo, seeing that everybody was going to see a once-in-a-lifetime athlete, a once-in-a-lifetime beast in Brock Lesnar. And then, of course, Dean Ambrose comes out with a red wagon with his Dean Ambrose logo spray painted on the side of it. Comes down to the ring, looks under the ring, pulls out a baseball bat, doesn't really like it, pulls out the barbed wire baseball bat, which gets kind of a good reaction from the Brooklyn crowd at the Barclays Center, and then takes out a kendo stick, takes out a chair, and then he takes out the chainsaw, puts the bat in his wagon, puts the chainsaw in his wagon, puts a few other things in the wagon, and then for some stupid-ass reason, he puts the steel steps in the wagon. And then just when it looks like he might actually get in the ring and try to use some of these weapons, he simply leaves.
Yeah, that right there left me really wanting to see this match. But, you know, honestly, dude, what the hell is he going to possibly do with that chainsaw? I mean, I know this is professional wrestling. I know this is sports entertainment. I know all that. Yada, yada, yada. I get it. But in reality, what the hell is he going to do with the chainsaw?
Yeah, because you're talking about a PG show. They're not going to do anything where someone actually gets hit with a chainsaw. I don't even really see them teasing it. The most I see them teasing the chainsaw spot is Dean Ambrose tries to get the thing started, and just as it looks like he might get it started, Brock Lesnar levels him with a clothesline. And I see the reverse happening, where Brock Lesnar tries to get the chainsaw started, and then just as he's about to get it started, Dean Ambrose knocks him out from behind, and that's the most we'll get of that particular match. As far as the chainsaw gimmick is concerned, but you know what? I know what they're trying to do here, Frankie. They're trying to tell a story where Dean Ambrose, this is his element. He's used to street fights where Brock Lesnar is not. And they're trying to tease the idea that Dean Ambrose could really win this match because Brock Lesnar's used to fighting in rings, fighting in octagons, not in a no-holds-barred street fight. But I don't think anybody believes that Brock Lesnar feels out of his element. I mean, Brock Lesnar is the beast incarnate. They promote him as the baddest man on the planet, and I don't think they're going to do anything where Brock Lesnar is scared of dipping his toe in the water as it relates to a particular match. And I think this match adds up to dollars and sense, because WWE has a huge investment in Brock Lesnar right now, and the only way I see Brock Lesnar losing a match is if it's in a main event situation, and this is not the main event of WrestleMania, so I expect Brock Lesnar F5 Dean Ambrose a couple of times, and then he's going to leave AT&T with his hand held high, and they'll be on to bigger and better things as we head into the summer.
You know, I'm looking at this match like this. Dean Ambrose is going to get his ass whooped. But Dean Ambrose is also going to take the fight to Brock Lesnar. Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar, I think, is going to continue past WrestleMania. I definitely see a rematch down the line with these guys. But, you know, when it goes back to what we were talking about a little while ago with the chainsaw, I remember in TNA where Abyss would carry around this weapon called Janus, which was named after Janus Carter, Dixie Carter's mother. Go figure. And they did a segment one night where he finally used Janus on Rob Van Dam. But they didn't show him using it. They just cut to the back, and Rob Van Dam was already on the ground with a bunch of blood on him. Now, if WWE wanted to do some kind of horse shit like that, they could incorporate the chainsaw that way. But I agree with you. Brock Lesnar is definitely going to get the W here.
One thing I do hope they do, Frankie, to piggyback off your point that Dean Ambrose is going to bring the fight to Brock Lesnar, I hope they do a deal that as Brock Lesnar just keeps suplexing after suplex after suplex of Dean Ambrose, I hope he tries to pin Dean Ambrose quite a few times, and no matter what Brock Lesnar does, Dean just keeps kicking out, and then they can do that camera shot where Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar look absolutely shocked, and they start saying to themselves, what the hell do we have to do to beat this guy? I think that would tell a pretty good story, especially coming from Brock Lesnar, and I think if they do that particular subplot just right, I don't think Dean Ambrose loses any credit, street credit, especially in a losing situation, because we've heard the stories on the IWC, we've heard people talking about it at Gerwig.net. Dean Ambrose is starting to get the reputation that he can't win the big one. And people, and some people think if he can't win this one, it's really going to dilute his character. But if they do that subplot just right, where it's like, damn, Brock Lesnar even had trouble beating him, I think his character is safe.
Definitely. And if we can see Jon Moxley return in this match here, just for this one here, and take it to Brock Lesnar and really give Brock Lesnar a good ass whooping, I think we're going to see a good match here, but I don't see Dean Ambrose getting the win. I do see Brock Lesnar getting the win, but I see Dean Ambrose saying to Brock Lesnar, you know what? I had you beat. You beat me with a fluke with an F5, but I had you beat, which will then set up a rematch between the two later on.
I'm going to tell you right now, if they even do a spot in this match where Brock Lesnar gets that chainsaw going and chases Dean Ambrose, I might even actually run out of the room, because I don't want Brock Lesnar chasing after me, you know, as is. Imagine that dude running at you with a chainsaw. Hell no, I ain't down with that. But, you know, it's not going to happen. But I think, Frank D, this could also be match of the night if you really think about it. It has potential. I mean, I don't think it will be, but I think it has potential to be match of the night if everything comes off just right.
Well, I mean, it could, but then here's the thing that kind of dampers this match here. I mean, it's a street fight, but yet we still have Hell in a Cell. And you already know that the Hell in a Cell is going to top anything they do in a street fight.
That's great. And speaking of Hell in a Cell, it's now time to talk about Hell in a Cell, Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker. If Shane McMahon wins, he gets control of Monday Night Raw, which in theory means he pretty much controls all of WWE. If The Undertaker loses, he'll never be able to wrestle at WrestleMania again. Frank D., take us through it.
Okay, so this past Monday on Raw, Shane McMahon came out there with The Undertaker. They cut a promo together. They actually had some physicality going on, and Shane McMahon laid The Undertaker out with an elbow from the top rope through the announce table. And Taker set up. So, you know, the old adage in the wrestling business is the last person to go over on TV loses. But both men were standing tall at the end of this segment, which kind of makes you think, huh, what the hell is going on here?
The way I look at this situation, Frank D., is that you have two guys that will just put their body through the ringer in order to put on a good match. You got Undertaker, and you got Shane McMahon. And a lot of people are crapping on Shane McMahon because his punches look weak. Now, I'm sure if he's like hitting the mitts or hitting a punching bag, I'm sure they're great. But as far as pro wrestling goes, the punches aren't that good. But I think he'll correct that problem once we get to WrestleMania. But one thing I do want to mention as well is no one has talked about the lockbox.
Right, yes.
They have not mentioned the lockbox one time since Shane McMahon initially came back on Raw for the announcement that he was going to wrestle Taker in Hell in a Cell. Now, I'm wondering, Frank D., are they just hoping that people forget about this stipulation? Do they just bring it up out of the blue the next night on Raw? Or do you think this Undertaker stipulation was put in place so people would forget about the lockbox?
I think that's what happened. I think they didn't have a clear, concise story or vision of where they were going to go. So they just put that out there. And now, people forgot about it. They haven't talked anymore about it on television. Now you're thinking about if Shane McMahon wins, he controls Raw, effectively controlling WWE. If Undertaker loses, he does not wrestle anymore at WrestleMania. That's what's on everybody's minds.
So when you look at this, it's a four-hour show. You got Hell in a Cell. And this match is probably going to be the longest match of the night. Because Shane McMahon hasn't wrestled in quite some time. Taker is 51 years old. And they're in Hell in a Cell, which they're expected to do a lot of damage to each other. So there's going to be a lot of smoke and mirrors. There's going to be a lot of interference. There's going to be a lot of gimmicks to really dress up this match so it's an entertaining affair. So when I look at it, I think Undertaker is going to win, but I hope they can do something special because you had the triple threat match of the Divas Championship, which is, you know, no rules, as Michael Cole stated. Then you have the No Holds Barred Street Fight with Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar. And then you have this match where they got to pull all the stops to kind of make the match live up to his name in Hell in a Cell. Because you put it in Hell in a Cell for a reason, and you need to have a match worthy of that gimmick. But I think Taker is going to end up winning this match, because in my opinion, and I could be wrong about this, but if this was really going to be Taker's last WrestleMania or last match, I think they would have put the stipulation in from the beginning. That way people could really get some hype around it and be like, wow, we might be watching The Undertaker's last match, or at least his last WrestleMania match. So then with the other match on the card, Frank D., is a 3-on-4 handicap match with The New Day, Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, and Big E taking on all four members of the League of Nations, King Barrett, Sheamus, Alberto Del Rio, and Rusev.
Yeah, you know what? I hear New Day is going to have a spectacular entrance at WrestleMania, so I'm actually looking forward to seeing that. But to me, honestly, I don't really give a damn about this match, and if I got to pick a team here, I'm going to pick New Day.
I think this is an opportunity for WWE to really keep the New Day as a babyface, because the original plan was that they wanted to be a babyface team just for this match and then go back to business as usual after WrestleMania. But the New Day, even though I think they're better, their act is better as a heel as opposed to a babyface, they're still getting really strong reactions from the audience. And I think WWE likes what they're hearing, likes what they're seeing, so they're going to keep them as a babyface team. And the League of Nations are just not over in any way, shape, or form. And the only reason they have any relevance on television is because they're at the beck and call of the Authority. When the Authority needs some help, they call the League of Nations, even though they call the Dudley Boys on Raw, which we'll get into. But most times they call the League of Nations. And the New Day wins, and I think they're going to pin King Barrett because he's on his way out of the company. He's going to be out in either June, or July. So the way I look at it, pin the guy that's leaving. Now it is time for the main events of the evening. Triple H will be defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against Roman Reigns in a no disqualification match to headline WrestleMania 32. Frank D., what are your thoughts?
You know what? This whole situation, Abby, is very reminiscent of what happened at WrestleMania 17 when all of a sudden a match was made into a no disqualification match. And that was a match between The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And we all know what happened with that. We could be seeing the same thing happen this Sunday night because I'm saying that Shane McMahon is going to play a part in this match. And I believe Shane McMahon is going to cost Triple H the WWE Championship, align himself with Roman Reigns, and you could actually play into this whole bulletproof, whatever faction that they have here, with Roman Reigns at the helm.
I like the fact that they announced the no disqualification stipulation early, because what they always do is they announce it right before the match starts, they announce it sometime middle of the show, or they don't announce the stipulation at all, and when you see chairs being thrown and people being put through tables, they always cover it up on commentary by saying, well, this is the biggest match of the year, it is the main event of WrestleMania, so the referee is using their discretion, so I'm glad they just got out of the way and announced the stipulation. That way, everything can unfold. Everything can come down because, as you and I were talking about off air, you know there's going to be a lot of interference in this match because this isn't just the title match. This is quite possibly the coronation of Roman Reigns as the focal point of WWE television. Whether he's going to be a heel or a babyface, that remains to be seen. But at the end of the day, I don't know what's going to happen with Triple H after WrestleMania, but I'm going with a Roman Reigns win here because I think Triple H is in serious trouble as far as his reputation because it's going to be just like WrestleMania 18 and just like WrestleMania 25 over again where despite working his ass off to put on a great match, he's going to be overshadowed by Shane McMahon and Undertaker in Hell in a Cell just like he was by Rock and Hogan, just like he was by Taker and Shawn Michaels. Hopefully he's learned from this experience and he'll be able to put on a different style of match that will appeal to the fans even though he's working uphill because the fans are going to be booing Roman Reigns out of the AT&T Stadium. But Frank D, there's another aspect of this match I'm curious to see and how it's going to unfold because Roman Reigns' main events on pay-per-view usually start later than most because they don't give him a lot of time in the ring. And I wonder if they're going to do that this Sunday at WrestleMania, or if they're going to say, you know what, we're making you the guy, it's time for you to sink or swim on your own, and they have the match start at 10 o'clock Eastern time, or they give him like an actual half-hour match.
That's a very good point. I didn't think about it like that. I think they're going to go ahead and just, you know, let Roman go out there and try to shine, because he has an uphill battle, man. I mean, this is kind of making or breaking for Roman Reigns at this point. And if this is going to be the guy, and that's what they say, the next, you know, three WrestleManias or whatever, he's going to be headlining them. It's going to be right here. This is going to be the start of whatever they got planned. But there's going to be a shitload of interference here. There's going to be a lot of shenanigans going on in this match. I'm with you. I'm predicting a double turn. I think by the end of the night, Roman Reigns will be heel, Triple H will be face, and going to go from there. And we also have to remember John Cena. Where does John Cena go in all of this? And I'm referring to the Hell in a Cell match or the main event. There's rumors going around right now that there could be a possible appearance by Goldberg. Once again, I brought up earlier about Bulletproof with Gallows, Anderson, maybe Finn Balor coming out there and interfering in that match, aligning with Shane McMahon, the mercenaries for Shane McMahon. There's a lot of different possibilities here in this thing. It's a lot of intriguing shit.
It would be intriguing to see if there's a bulletproof faction head up by Shane McMahon that helps Roman Reigns become the champion because in many ways it will take the Roman Reigns character full circle because he debuted as a member of the Shield at first helping CM Punk and then helping Triple H in doing the Authority's bidding. And then now, if he turns heel and our prediction comes true, he'll become the champion, he'll be aligned with the Authority, and he'll have a Shield-esque group with this Bulletproof faction helping him remain champion. So that would be an interesting turn of events. But as you mentioned, Frank D., a lot of rumors going on. Possibility of Bill Goldberg, a possibility of Seth Rollins appearing, and also John Cena has been telling anybody who will listen, he is cleared to wrestle. So does he appear on WrestleMania? And if he does he get physical? I don't know. But Frank D., one more Roman Reigns question I have for you. Does it behoove Roman Reigns to pull out a few new moves, being that this is his coronation of sorts, he's in the main event of WrestleMania, and besides the clothesline, the drive-by kick, the spear, and the Superman punch, he really doesn't do anything else. So would it behoove him to have like a new move or two, or do you think he just plays it safe, sticks with what he has, and goes from there?
I think Roman Reigns is out to prove something to the world, and I think he's going to pull out some new moves. I think he's going to have a pretty good showing. I think with the worker that Triple H is, I think they're probably going to have a pretty good match. And I'm actually looking forward to it. I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but I'm looking forward because there's a lot of stuff going on here. And I'm trying to stay away from the internet because I actually genuinely want to be surprised. We as wrestling fans don't have to know every damn thing before it happens. So that's why I want to be surprised what happens on Sunday.
I wouldn't be surprised if the crowd inside the AT&T Stadium tries to hijack this match by booing Roman Reigns at every turn and just saying Roman Reigns sucks to get off his game. But you have to remember, he's going to be in there with the game. Triple H, one of the greatest of all time. And Triple H is not going to let the fans take him or the guy he's working with, in this case Roman Reigns, out of his element as they're headlining WrestleMania. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Breaking Raw. Frank D., thank you very much for coming on this special WrestleMania edition. And tell the fans what you got going on.
Check out youtube.com/Gerwig Report Podcast today. That's the official YouTube channel of Gerwig.net. Tons of interview content right now over there. We have a playlist of all the interviews that we've done. So check that out and subscribe to our channel and like our videos. We definitely appreciate that. Also, if you like what you hear here on Breaking Raw or the Raw Deal Podcast or the Gerwig Report Podcast, and if you listen to all of our shows and want to make a financial contribution, you can do so by checking out ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwig today, the official merchandise of Gerwig.net. So there, $19.99 plus shipping and handling, will get you one of our shirts. And we definitely appreciate all you guys out there who listen to Breaking Raw, the GRP, and the Raw Deal. Definitely appreciate that.
And you all hit me up on Twitter at @AtleyGreen. Definitely check out my blog at thegreenscreen.net. And the Body Slam Podcast crew is going to be back this Monday for a live version of Breaking Raw as we break down the episode of Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. You know what that means. It's going to be tons of hijacking, tons of debuts. Anything and everything is likely to happen on the WrestleMania after Raw. And this year, the Breaking Raw crew is going to be live on Google Hangouts. So we're going to be posting details about that at Gerwig.net, so we'll keep you posted on there. But, folks, thank you very much for joining us. For Frank D., this is Atlee Green. We'll see you next time, and enjoy WrestleMania.